Welcome to Healthy Bottom Line, a monthly Chief Healthcare Executive podcast where we discuss topics at the intersection of policy and cost to show how innovation is improving health and saving money. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skyla Jeremias. Today, I'm joined by Joe Polaris, Senior Vice President of Product and Technology at R1RCM, a revenue cycle management company providing technology-based solutions to improve the patient experience and the financial performance of healthcare organizations. We discuss the effect that concerns over healthcare costs can have on patients' willingness to seek out care and how price transparency can help. We also talked about CMS's recent hospital price transparency rule, as well as other avenues health systems can take to address cost concerns. Welcome, Joe. Can you start by introducing yourself and telling us a bit about what you do at R1RCM?
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure to be with you, Skyler. Joe Polaris here. I've been with R1 for a little over 13 years. And let me start by just sharing a little of R1 and then I'll talk about my role here. So R1 traditionally has been an end-to-end revenue cycle management company, technology-enabled services, working with some of the largest health systems in the US as well as large medical practices, and really trying to bring efficiencies to healthcare. We realized early on we wanted to put people out on the front lines because if we could improve the data capture quality from patients earlier in the process, improve transparency and awareness for the patient earlier in the process, the whole rest of the back office processes were a lot simpler and neater. On product strategy at R1, we're really thinking about what's the next frontier for healthcare administration that could just make this whole process to schedule, arrive, pay, and manage the healthcare administrative processes a lot easier so that patient and provider can get back to spending their time on what matters, which is care and wellness. So that's a little bit about R1 myself, and really look forward to talking about price transparency and financial experience further.
Could you give us an overview about how cost impacts patients from seeking out medical care and how the pandemic has exacerbated cost concerns?
Sure. And I wouldn't claim to be necessarily an expert on, care seeking decision making, but certainly having talked with hundreds of patients, if not thousands, over the years and looking at a little bit of the research, what I'd say is healthcare is not, and I'm paraphrasing Dr. Mark Harrison, the head of Intermountain, who often says this: healthcare is, it's not that it's becoming unaffordable, it already is unaffordable. As you well know, far too many Americans ration their care, ration their medications, defer care, delay care, because it is not affordable. Typical deductible on a health plan in this country is well over $1,000 for a family, and the median American has well under $1,000 in emergency savings available. And so this imbalance of the need for critical access to care and the unfortunate barrier of affordability of that care is a real problem. And I think, as we'll talk about later, it's a solvable problem operationally. But it is a massive problem, unfortunately, in most geographies across the country. Now, the pandemic has had a few effects. I think, one, the pandemic has obviously been a financial shock to many Americans, whether it be employment-related or otherwise, childcare-related, healthcare-related. And with that, it becomes all the more difficult to spend scarce family resources for healthcare, especially if it's non-emergent. And in fact, we've seen both non-emergent and emergent care decline over the pandemic period. And then the other thing that folks may not appreciate, there's a ton of research on this. The pandemic has created a massive increase in overall anxiety around the world and for Americans. And I think with that anxiety comes further challenges with decision making about, seeking out medical attention, medical care, and again, we've seen it in the volumes. So it's certainly exacerbated an underlying problem, not necessarily created a new problem in the unaffordability of care and the anxiety around financial coverage for care. But it's certainly not a great time for our industry.
Why is more price transparency needed? How can this help improve the patient experience?
Yeah, great question. And I think there's often, you know, a discussion, and there's quite a rich discussion out there about kind of the soft effect of being more transparent so that patients know what they're signing up for rather than getting a surprise bill, and the improvement on experience that can create. But I actually, in my dialogues with health system leaders, I try to talk about some hard benefits as well, and then tie it back to kind of example use cases where there's a real problem that can be solved in healthcare. I'd say, first off, nobody wants a surprise bill. Nobody wants to learn that something they've already consumed is unaffordable after they've already consumed it and then be liable for payment. But equally importantly, if we're transparent about the cost of care upfront, and I think we're going to get deeper into this topic as we go, it turns out the likelihood of resolution of that out-of-pocket liability for the patient, which is usually in the form of cash collection by the healthcare provider, sometimes it's in the form of financial assistance, write-offs, charity, things like that, depending on the provider's policy. It turns out that the act of moving from not being proactively transparent about price upfront to being proactively transparent, and we hold our operations teams, when we're responsible for revenue cycle, to a metric target of 90% of patients should get a proactive outreach with an estimate for their out-of-pocket expense. When you make that shift, you can actually create a 20% improvement in overall collection yield. That's more cash collected by the providers, healthy for the bottom line. That's less bad debt expense. And so then healthcare providers say, okay, now we're talking about cash collection and bad debt expense. What does that have to do with the patient experience? And what I would say there is no worse experience than when your account goes to collections, which is by definition what's occurring with a bad debt transaction, a bad debt write-off. And so, you know, to be clear, R1 is not a debt collector. We do, in order to provide an end-to-end solution for clients, we work with some of the most kind and some of the most compassionate debt collectors across the country. But even those conversations, no matter how kind the person on the other side of the phone is, once you're read the script that you're in collections, you are not a happy patient. You are not happy with the customer service of your provider. And again, it turns out that whether you can afford to pay that bill, and the right resolution would have been to be transparent about the cost so that you could pay it, whether upfront or in time, or if you could not afford to pay that bill, most health systems have really rich policies and procedures around helping you finance or adjust the amount of your bill if you really can't afford to pay it. It's a lot easier to do that on the front end if we know about it than struggling with a collection agency on the back end. And so there's this really clear link between experience and financial success that I think, if you look at, you know, the data, makes it much more interesting and much more impactful to implement these really rigorous price transparency programs that we talk about.
How can health systems improve price transparency?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there are a lot of levers. And one of the things, you know, just an opinion or an observation about healthcare, because, you know, health systems have such tremendous responsibility, right? You're not thinking about what color paint to paint your bedroom when you call a hospital. You're thinking about your own health and wellness. There's such responsibility, and there's also such regulation in healthcare. Often providers think first about rigorous policy design, right? We want to have the best policies, because if we enact the best policy, and if all of our leaders sign up for it, and it's written down and signed off on, then it's reality. And don't get me wrong, a great policy for being transparent about pricing is super important. What I think it might be forgotten is, what's the operational execution of that policy? Is there truly an alignment of how operational processes are designed and how technology is leveraged to make sure that the lived experience of your patients is in conformance with your policy of price transparency? And that's what I learned when I was out on the front lines of healthcare implementing these programs, is that whether we like it or not, healthcare is big and complex. It's a big industry. And it's really hard to enforce commonality of process across a very large disparate organization, across lots of hospitals, lots of medical practices, lots of access points, without really rigorous operational processes and technology to support them. I referenced the example of our metric target, our KPI target, of 90% of the time patients proactively given a price estimate. It takes quite a bit of rigor to achieve that across a very large and complex footprint of hospitals and practices across our country. Hard to enforce even with regulation, hard to enforce as an organization for its own staff. And so I think, you know, again, one, having a commitment that it's not just going to be our policy, but it's going to be the lived experience in our operation at our access points. And then no matter how hard we try, the unfortunate reality is without technology, it's very difficult for information to flow from top to bottom or bottom to top, most importantly, in a large organization. There's some great examples out there of healthcare organizations that have gotten really good at this, but even the best organizations at communication and flowing priorities up and down the chain, it's really hard to make sure you're getting something like 90% success on a very complex process. And so instrumentation with technology becomes really critical to make sure that you've got measurements across all your access points, all of your facilities, all of your touch points with patients to measure and dashboard report out and systematically make actionable insight available to leaders to continuously improve execution of these processes. I really think without technology, that's very, very difficult to achieve at scale and over the long term. And so I'd say operational rigor, technology instrumentation, those are really the keys in my mind to price transparency becoming a lived reality and not just something that's on the website or a policy that's adopted. I hope that's helpful.
Now, how can price transparency increase revenues within healthcare organizations?
Great question. And I think two ways. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about the fact that if a patient is informed of the out-of-pocket cost up front, the likelihood of collecting that at some point in the revenue cycle process increases dramatically. We actually did a sort of controlled study where we took one cohort of patients that it happened had successfully been given a price estimate, and a second cohort of patients that, you know, the process wasn't up and running as we would like it to have been at that time. And so those patients were not given an out-of-pocket estimate. We ran them for 12 months post their appointment or their service. And the cohort that had been given price transparency, again, the collection success rate was 20 percentage points higher than the cohort that hadn't, which is a very material difference, a very significant effect on the overall bottom line of the health system. And as I talked about, that's a very large number of patients that essentially went from would have been in collections to a much better outcome. Fully avoided that awful process. And so that's meaningful on its own. I mean, that can be the difference of a percentage point or two on total net revenue of a health system, which can be the difference between operating in the black or not. And then the second is just, you know, the experience. If I'm in collections with my healthcare provider, I got to think I'm more likely to choose a different provider next time I need something. And so as we think about improving experience, and payment and financial experience as part of the broader patient journey and why patients and providers choose to call that doctor or refer to that facility. I do think financial experience increasingly can drive actual revenue bookings as well.
CMS recently implemented a hospital price transparency rule, and 256 hospitals were warned for violating it. What has been the opposition to this rule so far?
You know, I don't want to take a formal position on the legislation itself, although I'll certainly share a few opinions to the extent they may be helpful, whether they're mine or others that I've heard, across our country. There's probably three camps that I would talk about. The first, because you asked about opposition, is just, are there any legitimate points of view on opposition? I would say there's some potential merit to the idea that if negotiated prices between provider and health plan become public overnight, there's a potential problem in the contracting process whereby providers are supposed to kind of give better discounts to the health plans that are bringing them more patients, and health plans are supposed to be able to give better discounts to their members on premiums. And so I think there's potentially something to that argument. Now, it's unique to healthcare because of the whole health plan dynamic, but I also think it's potentially solvable. So the second camp would just be, it's really hard, it's really complex. It's not easy to gather all of the data that are necessary to meet the letter of the law. Again, I think that's a solvable problem. I think it's maybe, there's an argument that it's a burden on the provider, but at the same time, if it's better for the consumer, I would certainly on this dimension support the legislation that it's worth doing. But then there's the third camp. And again, this is, you know, just opinion that I sometimes hear, which is to say, there's a massive opportunity for improved collaboration between policymakers and government, because if you really look at what the law did, I don't know how helpful it is to consumers. I think health systems have really innovated in order to both meet the letter of the law and be helpful to their consumers. But posting, you know, machine-readable data and posting sort of price points that are negotiated with health plans may be pretty irrelevant to what a healthcare consumer is actually going to have to pay out of pocket, unless they're an expert in, you know, benefit design and medical coding and billing. And so I think the healthcare systems, a few come to mind, Mayo, Ascension, others, that have gone a little bit further and made it a little bit easier to kind of truly understand what's this going to mean for me and my cost, are probably, doing better than health systems that simply have adopted the letter of the law.
If you look into it, it turns out a lot of these pharma companies have great policies to help with affordability and help discount and help compensate providers that have administered these really high cost drugs on behalf of patients if those patients can't afford their share, whether those patients are uninsured, underinsured, or just have big deductibles. The challenge again is it's really uncommon for patients to know about those programs. And so unless providers or pharma or some other actor kind of enforces an operational practice of just asking the question, hey, we're about to recommend this really high cost medicine. Can you afford it? And if not, here's this path to still be able to take it with the assistance of this program or this policy by the pharma company. Unfortunately, you know, execution of those processes is highly varied across our country. And so the lived experience is exactly as you describe. It's you know, questioning the affordability and maybe even the ethics of how the industry is run, despite, in many cases, better intentions.
Now, if this rule is followed widely, what impact do you expect it will have for patients? Will they actually seek the information out and shop around when possible?
You know, it's early to tell. There very well could be a world, I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but a world where the information becomes so ubiquitous that it's easy for people to access. There might be aggregators that pull the information together. There might be behavior changes over time that lead to more proactive patients and proactive patient behavior seeking information. But I would still argue that especially with the way the law is constructed, and especially given the size and complexity of our industry, it's really still going to fall on either provider or health plan. I could make a case for provider to really be proactive in each individual person's case, because unfortunately, with the complexity of healthcare, each person's case is probably a little bit different. And I would argue that the data that's been mandated by the law is not necessarily going to create a high level of confidence for patients that if they seek specifically the information that was mandated to be public by the law, that it's going to really meaningfully inform them for the entirety of their care journey. Healthcare is just that complicated.
And lastly, what are some other ways that health systems can address patient cost concerns?
Yeah, great question. I think it again comes down to policy, operational execution, and then measurement through technology. So I think most health systems have done a really nice job of adopting policies to try to make care more affordable. I think there are arguments that some could do more to take out administrative cost in order to reduce ultimate end price. But I think there's arguably more to be done on the process and technology side. So I think creating protocols whereby we increase the presence of financial acumen of the front office staff. And I'm not talking about the nurses and providers. I really do think that time between clinician and patient should be focused on care and wellness, but this huge team, you know, supporting cast of folks who schedule you, check you in, take your information. I think improving the acumen of those folks and improving the processes that they follow to ensure that there's a high quality dialogue about health plan coverage specific to each patient and what to expect from an out-of-pocket cost liability, I do think that that's paramount. And then again, the only way to scale that and the only way to ensure you're achieving that is really through the adoption of technology. And now, nowadays, technology can go even further, right? Because nowadays, consumers are accustomed to doing these processes of scheduling, checking in, getting price information, making buying decisions on their mobile device, right? And so I think there's a lot to be said for technology also adopting some of that role of the supporting crew of people who help our patients, although many will still need kind of a financial counseling discussion with a person. And it's on us to be measuring the efficacy of both our technology efforts as well as our people's and process efforts to deliver that lived experience of the patient feels really informed and feels supported. And we're able to navigate them through their financial journey very seamlessly so that most of their attention is on their care journey.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Healthy Bottom Line. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Chief Health Exec and on LinkedIn and Facebook. You can also check out CHE's weekly podcast, Databook, as you wait for a new episode of Healthy Bottom Line. Until next time, I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias.